Do you believe me?
No.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah. Are you glad to be here?
Yep.
Okay. To make you even more glad to be here, I have three gift card things to redeem for gift cards. And I have three questions. So, yes, you can grab a note sheet if you're in the back. You can find a stick. Yeah. Okay. The first gift card goes to the person who remembers the names of the teams playing in the Super Bowl and can stand up first. Okay, you ready? Okay. I'm going to count to three. If you know who's playing in the Super Bowl, yeah, next weekend, and stand up first, you get a gift card. Ready? One, two, three.
Who's playing?
It's Jackie. Who's playing?
Falcons and the Patriots.
Yeah. Okay, next gift card. Who knows the name of the Patriots quarterback and is wearing tennis shoes at this moment? You have to be wearing tennis shoes. Anyone wearing tennis shoes?
Tom Brady.
Yay! Okay, last one. Whose birthday is closest to today but hasn't happened yet? So anyone's birthday tomorrow?
No.
No, anyone's birthday in January, like next week?
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll give you a help. No worries. Anyone's birthday in February? Really? Okay, March. She's 8 in March. When's your birthday?
6.
Okay, anyone before March 6th?
Nope. 28.
28. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, you're so sweet.
Clean. Yes. Thank
you. Okay. This is Elaine Atchley. She's from right here in Houston, Texas. She is our new friend, our special guest, and a gifted speaker. So everyone say hi.
Hi.
Hi. She's here. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a therapeutic school counselor. She is right now in a private practice specializing in children and families. She did both her undergraduate and graduate studies at Texas Tech University.
Any Red Raiders?
It's a great
job. And with all that she has on her plate, she still volunteers in a kindergarten and first grade class in the Children's Ministry at Ecclesia. It's awesome. Tonight we have the opportunity to hear her heart concerning connecting with children. So we welcome you, Elaine.
All right, well, I'm excited to be here. So we are, this is called Cuddles to Connections, a cute little name, talking about our babies, our 0 to 1s. So we're going to go through a little bit of...
Sorry.
Oh, y'all are fine. Mom's gone. Now what? She gave you the baby? Or Dad gave you the baby? What do I do now? Some just general developmental milestones. So you kind of know what to expect. What am I expecting from these babies at different ages? They grow so rapidly through that first year and even up to that second year. We're going to go through some of those developmental milestones. Some infant mental health basics. Some challenging behavior and how to manage that. Which is one that I'm sure we'll have lots of questions about. So feel free to raise your hand or just let me know, signal me, somehow smoke signal, whatever you need to do. Let me know that you have a question, and I will pause. And just some soothing techniques. How can you help your little ones calm down and self-regulate? All right. So we've got a few more coming in. Let's see. Trying to make sure. Y'all have the slides on your handout, so you're not missing anything up here. There's not going to be any videos or anything like that. So if you are over here, you got everything you need on those slides. All right, and I throw candy. So if you have a question, good question, any question, I might throw some candy at you too. All right, Mom's gone. Now what? Getting our babies through the door. All right, Mom's gone. Now what? Questions to ask. So some questions to ask Mom. Moms and dads are the experts on their babies. They're going to know what suits them. They're going to know what gets them excited, what games they like to play, their sleep schedules, you know, any special instructions on feeding, anything like that. So utilize your parents when they drop the baby off. If you have a question, don't be afraid to ask. Parent goodbyes. So who in here has been working with in the nursery for a while? All right, a lot of you. So oftentimes we get kind of the hovering parent that doesn't want to quite leave. Like, I've got the baby, the baby's crying, now you've got the baby, I'm not ready to go. So to work with those parent goodbyes, it's best to get the baby. Sometimes you need another volunteer to soothe mom or dad, talk them through it. But yeah, really develop that relationship with those parents so they feel comfortable as well, leaving their little one with you. That is their bundle of joy. And so as someone who's working in the nursery, you're not just soothing a baby, you're also sometimes helping those parents soothe when they hand over their precious one. Distraction techniques. So the easiest way to get a baby to calm in the moment is, especially an infant, is finding something that will distract them. So some bouncing, some rocking. Is there a shiny toy that they've been looking at? Is there a song that you can sing? Finding something to really grasp their attention to pull them away from that separation in the moment with mom or dad. All right, so now some developmental milestones. Where should they be doing that? All right, so at 1 to 4 months, got lots of development coming on. Babies, their personalities are just starting to develop. They can only see 12 to 14 inches in front of them. So you'll notice that they're looking around. If you're real close to them, they're studying your face. You got to get really close for them to be able to actually see what's going on for them. That's why babies love fans so much, or brightly moving lights or brightly colored lights. They don't quite know what it is, but it is stimulating to them. They explore their world through putting things in their mouths. We have lots of babies that like to stick their toes in their mouths and their fingers in their mouths, your fingers in their mouths. Everything goes in their mouth. That is just a part of exploration. That's a part of them discovering their world. Their neck strength is improving. You'll start to notice when you pick them up, they'll start having a wobbly head, but that neck strength really starts to build in those first 4 months. They begin to coo and gurgle and make some real interesting noises. They begin to grab for bright colors or noisy toys. They're going to like rattles. They're going to like anything that makes a crazy noise, or anything that has lights on it flashing. That's going to be very stimulating for our little tinies. They're going to carefully examine your face when being held. They are just exploring their world. And so their little brains are just being built by exploring your face and your facial expressions. You just see them really lock into you. They cry when they have a need. If they're hungry, if they're bored, if they're sleepy, anything. That is their means of communication, is crying. That's the only way they can get your attention. They respond to caregiver smiles when being held. You'll see kiddos when you start making faces at them, they just study you because they're trying to figure out, what's your face doing? How am I supposed to feel? If you're feeling sad, am I supposed to be feeling sad too? Because that caregiver, whoever's holding them in that moment, is going to be their regulator. They enjoy games like peekaboo or tummy tickles. They just eat it up. It's just so good for their brain development. All right, so brain building. These are some activities that you can do. So that the developmental milestones are good and great, but how can we help their little brains build? So these are some different activities to do with 1 to 4 months, and they will just eat these activities up. It's great for their development, their social emotional development. So peekaboo, they have yet to develop. I can't remember the term, but when your face is covered, you're gone to them. They have no idea. And then, oh my gosh, it's such a big surprise when you appear. I mean, you could do it over and over again, and you'll start to notice that they'll want to engage you to play peekaboo with them. With the little tinies, you can even get a scarf and play peekaboo with them. So you put it over their face, and oh, surprise peekaboo, and they just love that. There's so much attuning that goes on, and their mirror neurons actually that are in their brain are being activated through just little games like that. It's so good for their brain development. Presenting new interesting items for the baby to explore with their eyes and hands. You know, they can only see right in front of them. So giving them the opportunity to explore any sort of new items or colorful items is going to be really good for their brain. Playing gotcha with a brightly colored plush toy. I don't know if any of y'all have ever played a little game like that where you've got a little plush toy and you boop it right on their nose. They just love that. It's activating for their brains. Tickling and making silly noises. They just delight in those little games. All right, 4 to 8 months. They'll begin to bounce around when being supported to stand. I'm sure y'all all know when you hold the baby and they just bounce up and down with those little legs. They can roll over from back to tummy. Sometimes they need a little help. And, you know, just we're remembering that with all of this, 4 to 8 months is quite a span. This is all going to happen within that time frame. So a four-month-old is going to be in a different place than an eight-month-old. They can sit up with a little help. They'll begin to scoot or they'll begin to crawl. They'll begin to imitate caregiver facial expressions. You'll see when you stick your tongue out at them, they stick their tongue out at you and you stick it back at them and that back and forth. They're learning how to relate to you. They're learning how to engage and interact in those moments. They'll begin to reach for desired objects, often earrings or glasses or necklaces. They want to see, discover, feel, and experience that. They begin to attempt one-word requests. You'll hear da or ba. And ba may be like eight things. Like that's the bottle, that's the ball, that's the bat. Everything is ba. Or da, or ma. They'll have increased anxiety built around new people. This is just when stranger danger is starting to hit home. When they're newborns, their brains aren't activated for that yet. But at 4 to 8 months, you start seeing them. Once a stranger walks up and touches them, you'll see them. Oh, mom, is this okay? Dad, is this okay? So this is when we start to see more challenges with passing baby off from parent to volunteer or to teacher. All right, some brain building activities for 4 to 8 months. Blowing and clapping bubbles. If you have bubbles or even a cotton ball, babies can have fun for hours. Something just that simple. They don't have the oral motor skills to blow yet, but they do have the fine motor and gross motor skills to pop the bubbles. This little piggy, this is so engaging for them. They just giggle and laugh and just share in that moment with you. Ride little pony, that's when they're on your knees and you bounce them up and down. And then you say ride little pony down to town, you better watch out or whoop, you'll fall down. That is not just fun, but it's actually building their vestibular system, which is one of our sensory systems. And I could go on for days about sensory integration, but I won't. But it is good for their brains and their sensory systems. Rollover, there are multiple books and songs. You know, there were four on the bed, and the little one said, roll over, and you can roll with them, have them roll. Any little games like that are going to be engaging for them and going to build that connection and that rapport. Fly, baby, fly. You hold your baby like this. Woo! And you're swinging them, and they are just giggling and laughing. It's good for their little brains. It's good for their proprioception and vestibular systems. So these are all things that not just connect you, but that are actually really good for these babies' development. And even though you're only with them once a week, you can still be a part of building those healthy brains. All right, 8 to 12 months. They are starting to eat solid food, starting to cruise or walk. They point where they would like you to look. They are able to respond to simple directives. They prefer one toy over the other, and they're not afraid to grab that toy from their friend. There's another increase in separation anxiety, tends to just escalate up until about 18 months. Begin to show assertiveness by pushing others away or shouting. They like to show their assertiveness quite often. And they may start to share toys with classmates or teachers. They might share it with you and then ask for it back as well. Some brain building activities for 8 to 12 months. Interactive peekaboo. How can they be a part of that game with you? So at this age, you're not going to be the one covering your face. They will actually start to imitate you, and they'll cover their face. You'll cover yours, and you'll have that moment. Touch it, hold it, bang it. Just get an object. Touch it, feel it, hold it. What happens if we bang it? What happens if it goes on this surface or that surface? Babies at this age are all about discovery and all about learning their world around them. And so that's just such a great moment to be with them and share that moment with them of exploring and figuring out the world and coming alongside them through that process. Ride Little Pony, you can do it, but you can vary it a little bit more. They're a little bit older. Their neck control is better. You can go fast, and you can go slow, and that's just building that brain and building that sensory system. Hide and seek with objects. You hide something, they have to look for it. It's very exploratory. They just love little games like that. All right, 12 to 24 months. They are mobile. They are walking and running, climbing up on any elevated surface they can find. They can say several single words. They pick up on new words their caregivers are saying. That's why reflecting is so important, and watching what you say is so important, because they are, you know, that one slip of, you know, calling someone a bad name, that's what they pick up on real fast. But that's why at this age, when you start to reflect feelings, you start to reflect what they're doing as they're playing, as they're engaging with their friends, as they're engaging with you. So good for their language development. They are these little sponges that hear everything, and their brains are just rapidly developing. And so, you know, any support that you can give them in that process, do. They can follow 1 to 2 step commands. Will begin to engage their peers more. They start to develop a dominant hand. They begin an imaginative play, which is just gives teachers such a great opportunity to become a part of their world and love on them. They start to be able to feed themselves. Separation anxiety peaks mid-year, then decreases at 24 months. So there's a light at the end. They start to recognize you more. They're excited to see their friends. It's some of them can't wait to get into the classroom and be away from mom. All right, brain building activities for 12 to 24 months. Rolling a ball back and forth, chasing them, or playing the game, I'm going to get you. Ring around the rosy. This is one you don't even just have to play with one. You can play with multiple. Patty cake, if you're happy and you know it. Playing in the kitchen, reading a book, sorting toys by shape or color, reflecting and naming what they're doing as they play, building strong language and strong brains. All right, infant mental health basics, what you need to know. This is a silly little picture. It's kind of grainy, but there's a therapist sitting in a chair, and there's a baby sitting on what looks like some sort of playground equipment that's shaped like an animal, and it says, and how does that make you feel? So not that kind of infant mental health. So does anyone know what infant mental health is? Who wants some candy? Anybody, anybody? Okay. So infant mental health is just part of it's happiness. It's really building social emotional skills. So infant mental health, the base of that is going to be your first relationships, and it's the secure relationships. It's how children learn how to manage their emotions and how to manage their impulses. How do they regulate? What does that look like? Why are these things important for nursery leaders and teachers?
Well, because of that separation anxiety.
Absolutely. That's some chocolate.
Oh.
Yeah, because y'all, there is separation anxiety. You are going to have little ones that they're learning their world. They're exploring. And so it's important to know how things develop and what infant mental health is going forward, because y'all are going to be interacting with them on a semi-regular basis. All right, building blocks of infant mental health. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Y'all all have that kid in your class, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's on their own face. Sometimes it's on another child's face or on the wall. Anywhere but the paper that you gave them. So, does anybody have any questions before we keep moving forward? Are we all good? We're good? Okay. All right. So infants and toddlers rely heavily on adults to help them experience, regulate, and express emotions. We don't come out of the womb knowing how to regulate our impulses. We don't come out of the womb knowing even regulating our own body temperature. We all learn how to regulate over time through a certain regulatory cycle. And at the beginning, up until three, the parents or caregivers are in the moment when y'all are teaching, you are your kiddo's regulator. You are your baby's regulator in that moment. Infants and toddlers learn what to expect from adults through secure relationships. The drive to explore and master one's environment is inborn in humans. So that need to explore, a lot of things that seem that are inconvenient for us with little ones are actually their exploratory senses. They need to do that. They need that exploration to build their brain. Infants and toddlers' active participation in their own learning and development is an important aspect in their mental health development. So exploring their world and exploring even that relationship with you is a part of building strong, healthy brains and good infant mental health. Infants and toddlers are exploratory and just beginning to experience the world outside their moms. Everything is new to them. Everything is exciting. Everything is a new experience. And so much of what our little ones do is just them getting to know their world around them. All right, infant mental health, things to consider. Families come from all different cultures, backgrounds, and their parenting may look different from how you parented or were parented. This is just something to keep in mind with all of our kiddos coming to us, especially in a church, right? We don't know where families are coming from. Oftentimes it's different kids every week. And just knowing that and having an open mind when a child comes to you. You don't know what their background is. You don't know what that relationship with their parents looks like, or what the home situation is. And so keeping an open mind to that whenever you're taking in a little one. Because not all of our kids are going to come from secure, loving homes. They are going to struggle with regulation. And just being that base for them, even in those short moments, can have an impact. If a baby's primary caregiver is having a rough morning, the baby may have a rough morning too. If mom is disheveled and has her coffee over here that's kind of spilt on her shirt, and you could just tell, like, this morning was rough, just expect it may be a rough time for the baby too. Because the baby, mom is that regulator for the baby, and if she's dysregulated, the baby's going to come in dysregulated as well. You could probably get the baby regulated, but it just might take a little extra time and a little extra TLC. Okay, even the most brief interactions can provide a baby with a positive brain-building experience. Even if there are other negative experiences in this baby's life and they don't have an attuned caregiver, you can be that one person in that one moment to provide that baby with a positive, loving experience. Don't underestimate the impact you can make on babies and parents. I feel like I've talked about the babies, but even the parents, when you embrace the mom or the dad when they drop the baby off, and you ask them questions about their baby, and you're concerned about, or not concerned, but you are inquisitive about who they are as a parent, you can build a relationship with that parent as well. And they may be getting negative feedback from all different sources around them about their parenting, but if you can be that one person who doesn't judge and just accepts them for who they are and what they bring in that moment, knowing that they're trying their best, you can make an impact on their life as well. Challenging behavior. How do I handle it? All right. What challenging behaviors have you struggled to work with? Yes, 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 and yes. Biting, grabbing, hitting, yelling. Did I miss any?
Nope.
Nope. Scratching. Oh. Yes, scratching is a good one, too. Who said scratching? Oh, nice. Nice catch. So these are some common behaviors. They're going to bite, they're going to grab, they're going to hit, and they're going to yell. Remember to keep in mind that redirection looks different for babies and for toddlers. So an infant's going to be different than an 18-month-old. Some babies will be delayed developmentally, so meet them where they're at. So even though we've talked about developmental milestones, you might see, you're going to see a wider variety with kids. Kids develop at different rates, so even though that might be the typical milestones they should hit, there you may get kiddos that are developmentally delayed, so it's really just meeting them where they're at. Keeping in mind, cause and effect thinking has not kicked in for babies, and it's just beginning to develop with toddlers. So when they bite their friend, they don't quite understand the effect. They just know that their friend has the toy they want, and they're going to bite them and get it from them. They don't understand that now their friend doesn't want to play with them anymore and that they hurt that child. When you are calm, the babies will follow. So these behaviors, biting, grabbing, hitting, yelling, scratching, if we start to get dysregulated and we get upset with the 17-month-old that scratched the 9-month-old because the 9-month-old had the ball, just remember, and this child has done this over and over and over again in one class, and you are frustrated, just remember that when you're calm, if you go to that child and you're upset, the child's going to follow suit and things will escalate. If you can come calm and regulated, then the child will follow suit as well. Babies are impulsive and exploratory. Even though it can be hard to manage, that is just their nature. That's the way God made them. and so it's finding a way to kind of rein in the impulse and rein in the exploration to something that is manageable, and trying to find a way for them to get that need met, but in a way that is also manageable for the classroom. Exploration and making a mess is just a part of healthy development. They like to get their hands dirty. They like to do lots of, they like to stick their finger up their friend's nose. Lots of, and then in your mouth. It's gross, but it's a part of exploration. Just, you know, have Girl with you and just, you know, going in with the mindset that it's a part of healthy development, it's a part of exploration, gives you a sense of peace and calm and understanding when you are dealing with these challenges that come from our little ones. They are precious in His sight. They are God's children, and they are precious to Him, and so they are precious to us. So are there any, at this point, do y'all have any instances that you'd like to share about little ones? And successful ways that you handled it, successful strategies, unsuccessful strategies?
I help with the one-year-old classroom.
Okay.
Here at Sacramento, when there's a classroom having a hard time, or maybe there's one child that's injured, and so they just need someone to help kind of with, you know, that
sure.
Singing has
yes.
Like, makes all the difference in the
absolutely.
World. And they come in and just kind of stare at me, because I'm coming in, you know,
yeah.
Like the other teachers, so I'm coming in, and they're like looking at me like, oh, you're a strange person, and I'm about to cry. But then I start singing, and then they just stare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more calming, and it just grabs their attention and changes the whole dynamics of the room. So.
Right. Okay, yes. Singing, removing them is often a good strategy for our little ones. Anything that their attention spans are short and they're easily distracted, make use of that. find something shiny, pick them up, move them out of the situation. Any sort of singing, bouncing. If you notice that when a child does start to get upset, if there is a challenging behavior and now they're having a meltdown because you know, their friend bit them, or they bit their friend and then their friend bit them back and they're upset, kind of do what your body says. Like, whenever you pick up a baby, you naturally start to sway. God made our bodies like that, to know how to caretake. So go with that. It's naturally soothing for our babies. Bounce them. You know, swing them. Anything like that is going to be helpful in those moments when you just need to distract or remove them from the situation.
In our classroom, we have a big sort of ceiling window.
Oh, okay.
And that always works.
Oh, I bet.
Football,
yeah.
You just take them to the window and stare out. And our view is ridiculous. It's
uh-huh.
Like bushes and a sign.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't even matter. Say every time.
Uh-huh.
Just
yeah.
See the birds. You can see the trees and the clouds.
Right. And you can get their, attention. I forgot to give you candy.
More?
For me? Oh, no. Well, you too. There we go. Both of y'all. All right, some quick strategies. Baby versus toddler. Redirection will vary with age and the child's developmental level. Babies, the best thing, like we've talked about, distraction, removal, or find them an alternative. If, you know, Billy's playing with the ball that Johnny wants to play with, go find a special ball with Johnny. Something even better. Toddlers use clear, brief directives and natural consequences. Toddlers don't need a lecture. They're going to lose you after, like, three words. So be very direct with them, very brief. Just state the boundary. No biting. You can pick them up and remove them. Follow up with, if this was a situation, you can't play with the Legos if you're biting. It's very direct. You've named it. You've let them know. Let the child reset at a different activity, then try it again. Little ones have short attention spans. You can move them to a new activity and then try it again in a few minutes. So, you know, take Billy from the Legos, go to the music section, play some music for a while, and then go back to the Legos, and Johnny may already have moved on to the next thing if there's issues between two particular kiddos.
Well, biting is a sign of frustration for them.
Yeah.
Recommendation is you mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Biting is frustration, is definitely, can be from frustration or anger. Babies and toddlers have it tough sometimes. Their brains are moving faster than their language can develop. You'll see a lot of them sign. Sign language is great for our little tinies. They can communicate with you before they get verbal language. But yeah, they're trying to tell you something, but they don't have the language to get their needs met quite yet. So they will start to bite or hit. All right, soothing. They are crying. Help. All right, like you said, rhythm and motion is great, and singing. So rocking, swaying, bouncing, swinging. How is this helpful and why? What questions should I ask the parents? All these things are helpful because it actually recreates feelings of being in the womb when you're walking and bouncing and swinging. Naturally soothing to the baby's brain. So anytime that they start to get fussy, just a quick bounce, a quick rock. Each baby is going to be different. Some love the swing. Some hate the swing. Some will only soothe if you're standing. Some will only soothe when you're sitting. These are the questions you ask the parents. These are the questions you want to know. They have spent tireless nights and hours up with their babies. They know how to soothe that baby. So get as much information as you can from them. Those are the questions to ask for how is your baby soothed. When baby cries this way, means they're hungry. If they cry this way, it means they need to be changed. If they cry this way, they need to be burped. The parents are going to know those things. So use them as your number one resource and get as much information as you can out of them. So it's like you almost have a guidebook for the baby that's coming into your classroom. All right, sounds and songs. Babies' brains are wired to just soothe with anything melodic and rhythmic. So any sort of quiet melodies, you're not going to want any hard rock, hard metal for your babies. So anything instrumental, but that's not too fast, because if you get even classical music, if it's too high pitched. Or it's too quick-paced, it's actually going to dysregulate them. So pick something very calming and soothing. It sounds calming and soothing to you. It's probably going to be calming and soothing to the baby. Baby's ears are much more sensitive than ours, so just be mindful of that when you are finding music for them to listen to. I'm humming a soft tune. Soft, low-pitched sounds while being bounced. So even humming at while you're bouncing them is going to be soothing to them. Lots of babies, which you can't provide this here, but that's why a lot of babies like being in the car. I know when I was not even just a baby, but up until I was probably about six, whenever I got on my dad's boat, I fell asleep like that. Because there was something about the motor of that boat that put me to sleep that was very calming. And my mom said I had done that since I was an infant, and so it does something to our brains to where it's very soothing, calming. Some babies like the dryer, some like the car, but that is going to be a way to soothe. Calming words, just in a rhythmic, melodic way, you know, it's okay, you're okay, you'll be fine. Those things are going to calm them as well. It really doesn't matter which words you use, but it's more so the tone. But we like to give them those calming, sweet words because they're sweet babies. A soft tone toy. So anything that might be comforting to them, something that a plush toy that's not too stimulating visually. And I know even now they have toys that have like mom's heartbeat in it, something like that, or something that just plays a light melody. All right, oral soothing. this little guy is teething on an iPad. So pacifiers, teething rings, soft solids, their own hands or feet, your hands or shirt or jewelry or anything they deem desirable. So babies will soothe themselves orally if on anything. So coming prepared or having the parents be prepared and make sure that they're giving you what you need for their babies if their babies are ones who are orally soothed. Most babies are. Not all of them like pacifiers. Some get that thumb right in that mouth. But this is also something to talk to parents about. Is the baby teething? Because if the baby is teething and you don't know about it, it's going to be a long hour and a half. and so making sure you get that feedback from mom and dad and to see if there's anything special that they can provide to help with that process. All right, questions? I'm done a little bit early, oh no. So does anyone have any questions for me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, would you try to get all the necessary information from the mother?
Yes.
Like yesterday, the mother dropped off child and got to a point.
Uh-huh.
We asked, the mother told us that no more nap, no money sleep.
Oh, okay.
He stopped money sleep.
Okay.
But it got to a point, the child was crying, giving the formula.
Okay.
Then he kept crying.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we decided to try put him on the swing.
Yeah.
He slept off.
Okay.
But how accurate was that information?
From the mother, she may be trying to sleep train, but how old is the baby?
8 months.
8 months, okay. They might be trying to sleep train. Baby might not be sleeping through the night. That might be the reasoning behind it, but at that age, it's hard to keep them awake. Mm-hmm. So I might just express that to mom and say, you know, we can only do so much for the baby. If we put the baby in the swing and the baby falls asleep, then that's kind of just the natural process of things. Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is giving feedback and trying to meet in the middle sometimes. Yeah. Yes.
I guess I would say, like, I'm thinking, like, 18 to 24 months.
Yeah.
If two of them are, like, pushing and
shaking. Yeah.
And what do you think is that, at that age, what's the best thing to do? I mean, separate them immediately?
Yeah,
is there any benefit in trying to get them to talk it out?
At that age? No. Sure. Honestly, you know, at that age, they may have the language, but they don't really have the cognitive development to talk it through. It's such a, and this is totally developmentally appropriate, it's a very selfish time for them, so all they know is this other child has affected me and what I'm doing, and so I'm angry. They're not really thinking, how did I affect the other kid? So, yeah, separating is the best option, and just stating that boundary with them, you know, no hitting, we don't hit our friends, and then moving them on to the next thing. Definitely. When they get older, yes, they do need to talk it through.
Okay, I have another question.
Okay.
Yeah, like some mommy, when they drop off their baby, babysitter, like 8 months to 9 months. I said, no more sleep. From 10 a.m. no more sleep.
Okay.
And the baby keep crying. He
wants
to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you expect us to do?
Right, right, right. I would try alternative ways to soothe the baby. Just try different techniques, anything that you can. I would just be, you have to be kind of straightforward and honest with the parents and open that communication towards them and say, look, these are the problems that we're running into, and this is what we can provide, this is what we can't provide. You know, there still has to be some boundaries there. You know, mom is definitely the expert on their on her baby, but there also there needs to be accommodations on both ends.
A lot of moms will be like, "Well, he's tired right now. At home, he's tired right now. But
sure,
with six other friends in the class.
Sure,
this is not when he's gonna."
Die. Right, right.
I mean, that's what we run into a lot of. He's sleepy right now.
Yeah.
And they never go to sleep.
Right.
They say that exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But then he is fussy.
So
he is tired.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, it's there's never a perfect setting. You know, if the child's in a classroom, it can't be individualized care. And so you have to talk with parents, talk that through with them in a kind and respectful way. But, you know, still maintaining what your boundaries and what you can provide in a classroom while respecting their input, I think is kind of where you have to take it. It's just, you know, being open to that communication and talking it through with them, I think is the most important part.
So would you say the same thing for parents that are trying to, like, sleep train? Mm-hmm. For example, like, the baby comes in, and they're like, oh, they're sleep training.
Yeah.
So, you know, you leave them in the crib, and they're like, oh, they'll cry themselves to sleep, and you're like,
right.
Like, check on it every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they okay?
Right.
Are they eventually going to fall asleep? I don't know.
Right.
There's, like, so much action going on. So
yeah.
You leave them in there, if that's the instruction?
I mean, go as per the parent's instructions as much as you can. You know, you have to figure out what's feasible in the classroom and what's feasible with the parents. I'm a school counselor as well, and so I'm often talking with parents on, none this little, but even our preschoolers, it's meeting in the middle. We can provide this. This is what we can do. And just being open with them and communicate that to them. And not, I think the biggest struggle you run into with parents is when you promise all these things and then you realize you can't fulfill them. So it's really being straightforward, like, I understand that you're sleep training. We'll try this, but these are the things that we've run into, and it's making my classroom unmanageable.
Right.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Do you have any, like, feedback if your child's come for 5 or 6 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
Kind of crying the whole time, can't be consoled.
Mm-hmm.
The
next steps after that, I mean, obviously talk to the parents. If a child is just so overwhelmed, like it's just not a positive experience for them and they just can't be soothed, like it's highly stressful for them, talk to the parents about that. That might mean that, you know, they may need to take a break to where, you know, it might not be the right fit in that time. Maybe the baby's going through something and needs some extra intervention. I would just be clear and be honest with the parents about what you're seeing, because they're the ones that can seek out help. Because if the baby's unconsolable for 6 straight weeks in one environment, it's probably not just the one environment. It's probably in different environments, and there might be actually something going on. The baby may have, you know, a health condition. They might be having really bad acid reflux or colic. And the baby's in pain. So I think it's just about being open and honest with the parents and giving them your feedback about what you're seeing and letting them know your observations and conveying your concern. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? We got a couple more minutes.
This age, do they really need social interaction?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's how they develop their peer relationships. You know, birth to 4 months when they can't quite sit up yet, they need more caregiver interaction. But once they are sitting up, and especially once they're mobile, they need that social interaction with one another. That's how they learn how to interact. That's how they learn boundaries. That's how they learn how to engage, how to play. That's where they learn reciprocity. Everything comes from those early relationships, and that's how they develop those peer relationships. Anybody else? All right, I think we're right at time. Yeah? Well, I appreciate y'all all coming and listening to me. Y'all were a great crowd.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. No problem. Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm doing not so terrible twos and threes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Excellent. I have a little more on not so terrible twos and threes because they're more engaging. There's more you can do. I have a lot more behavioral interventions for twos and threes. Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad. Oh.
You did great. Good job. No, you just leave it on there. Okay. Your next class, right?
Yeah.
You might want to put it up. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, right there.
Right there. Perfect. Okay. If you can think of it, it's no big deal if you don't. But
yeah.
It makes it good for the audio. Like when someone with a whisper voice says, you know, how do I control my toddler?
Oh, restating.
Yeah, if you can just restate.
Okay.
She's asking, you know what I mean.
Okay.
No worries.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Is that there in the lobby?
Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, down close to the...
Oh, it's right over there? So what? It's actually the registration.
Oh, I think it's...
This is going to be a good one here, man. The other one was crazy good, too. Annabelle. Yeah. And now we're at Annabelle. But she's like a psychologist. That's what we can kind of do most of those. And you can see how she's learning. Yeah, if you would. You got one of those orange drinks, yeah, whatever that is.
I was so excited to see sparkling water. My favorite thing.
What is it?
Sparkling water.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, we started mixing half and half.
Oh.
Half sparkling, and we don't like aspartame, so we diet right. It's the only one that has no aspartame.
Right.
So he makes like half and half.
Oh.
So good.
Really?
Yeah, because those are kind of, you know.
Oh, shit. I don't like super sweet drinks.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these, I drink so many now, I have to buy like a 24-pack at Costco. And I go through it in about 4 days. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I figure it's better than Diet Coke, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Very hydrated.
Did you know the lady that's been doing it the last couple of years? You know, who's teaching kind of the similar age groups here?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. I videoed her last year. She's really good.
Okay.
You bring a lot of Romanian youth to it.
What?
And you're energetic.
Oh.
But really, really are following you really well.
I try to bring my sense of humor in as much as I can.
We keep people off their cell phones. What is wrong with that? You go to a class and you're checking Facebook.
I know. I probably need that for my own reflection because I'll catch myself whenever I'm the worst at church. Yeah, he calls us out. He'll be like, I go to Ecclesia and Chris, our pastor, he'll be like, I know y'all are all saying that you're on the Bible app, but I know you're checking Instagram right now. He'll just call you on it. Yeah. Yeah, he's wonderful.
And that's funny because, like, if they were to ask me, I actually do have the Bible app on. Because I look up scriptures, like, during our fitness, I like to tie our crafts into scripture. So I tell the kids and I read it to them.
Sure.
So, and those are my threes to fours.
Okay. Yeah, I teach K through first. Ecclesia is kind of a small church. We're growing massively, but we have. In comparison to first, it's smaller groups, and so I teach
most churches in comparison to first and second are like But you know, I tell people, you know, like, I mean, the only time it's like really big is when we're all together in the worship center.
Right. Yeah.
For the most part, like, I'm there. Like, I have my group. I sing with the choir.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband plays with the orchestra. So we have our group.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm with preschool. So now I have my group.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you have your little groups, so it's not necessarily always big.
Right.
People just assume, always in these big groups. No. But these little breakaways.
Oh,
groups, you know?
Absolutely.
So I let people know that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually started at my church, we started a small group, a women's small group of girls that all work in the children's ministry.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
That's
So we all have different backgrounds, but we all have a heart for kids.
Yeah.
And so it's just been a phenomenal group of girls.
Yeah. I know, I love working with kids.
Yeah.
Just like, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like Thursday. Our Thursday group, we have some kids that are like this, and then we have some that act like they don't want to like put their shoes on.
Sure.
You do, you know.
Oh, yes.
And so I call them the ringleader because all she wants to do is play.
Mm-hmm.
So during Bible study or group time, she don't want to do
Oh, yeah, circle time. No way.
She's like, I'm going to get up and run around the room, and then she'll start playing with, laughing with her friend, and then next thing you know, four or five of them will get up and run after, and we're like,
I know.
It's like, and what we were doing in the beginning was working, and then they would sit, so now they're just getting tired of circle time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, so now how are we going to change this up? So some of my, since they're going to be three in the spring, I said, okay, maybe they want to do something different. So I put out a center, because I used to work in a public school.
Yeah, yeah.
So all my teacher friends always did centers. So I put out a coloring center with crayons.
Right.
And then on the easel, I put out a coloring with markers.
Right.
And so
they've got choices.
Yeah.
They got
so
options.
They have a few more choices. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're going to try to do something with the toys, because they're just getting too bored with the toys. And then we're going to just change it up. On Thursday, we'll do coloring.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, we'll do
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to change that up because it's like they're just run, like he likes to run. And I asked the mom, I said, does she run around? She says, so I'm home.
Hello.
Yeah. She has to take her to the playground.
How old is she?
2.5
Two and a half? Huh.
Yeah. She has to take her to the playground a lot because she's got so much energy.
Hmm. Okay. She may need to be in occupational therapy. She sounds, yeah, she's, yeah. She needs a weighted item. If you get her something weighted, our children's ministry, our elementary ministry space, I brought a weighted, it's not a weighted jacket. I actually found them at the Goodwill because weighted vests and stuff are super expensive. But it's just like a little, it almost looks like a little scarf. And it's weighted. And so it's like a lap pad. It's, or it can go on your shoulders too. So when we have one of those kiddos that you're like, ooh, what's going on? Lots of energy. We'll put that on them. Or I'll usually give instruction. They always ask me when they get a real dysregulated kid, they're like, you're going, send them to Elaine's class.
Well, I mean, like, I told the parents, it's like, okay, how was the day? Like, I had two of them.
Mm-hmm.
We had a day of not following directions. Because it was consistently.
An NFI day, yeah.
And I just put it in a nice way.
Yeah, know? Sure.
And the moms, I don't think, knew how to take it. But I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
nice
sure.
Because, I mean, I'm not going to be negative, but I'm also going to say, just, I'll put it in a nice way.
Yeah.
And I think they could tell because I was like, lost.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, we had a day of Halloween.
Sure.
So both those kids' moms were at the door at the same time.
Okay.
So, but I mean, I couldn't help that, but it was just like,
yeah.
Right.
Well,
so,
you know, a lot of times.
The other moms say, maybe we'll be better next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, usually there's some underlying stuff there a lot of times. Usually we have a pretty good idea of what's going on for a lot of our kids. Like, our parents we'll have at least one person that's super connected with certain parents, and so they're like, oh, you know, we have a lot of kiddos that are fostered or adopted from harder situations.
He likes to take crayons and he'll hold them in both his hands.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's not
abnormal
at that age.
Okay, like line them up?
Yeah. You know, it's like he doesn't like them in 2 minutes.
Okay.
And like the markers, he'll do the same thing. He'll put them all separate.
Okay. How's his language? He's 2.5?
He's 2.5. I think
take a picture of that.
Okay.
His language is
Okay. Sometimes that can be some anxiety or some OCD kind of symptomology, or it can be a little spectrum-y.
I know.
It could also be a plethora of other things. Yes. Maybe he just likes order.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It could be many things because I have a grandson that's, you know, autistic. So I'm trying to, and I kept thinking, well, maybe I just need to work with him a little bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do it with all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a chocolate chunk out there.
I mean, they'd say like cheesecake.
I've been on a diet for a month, and tonight I was like, well, you know, it's okay. Cheat day.
Well, I have to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Only if you want. Hey, you're early, so you get a big girl chair.
If I want these, those are more comfortable than those. I sit on those, maybe.
A new adventure, right?
I don't know. It's just we're both so frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you got to feel the parents out too, because you'll have some parents that are super receptive, and then some that are quite defensive. So, yeah, you have to figure out how to frame it for them.
So I just said, "Your hands are." And when they didn't really say anything, I was like,
"Yeah,
not sure what to say."
Sure. Sure. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Don't chase her, but it's just only one thing.
Right.
So it's like, okay.
Right.
While I was listening to this, and when I was listening to her earlier, I think I'm going to do a circular prayer.
It's Velcro for the bad behaviors,
yes.
And like Teflon for the good.
Right.
So they're gonna.
They
progress past that. That's not all, but you just see that sometimes. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
This is our room during the week.
Oh! Oh!
I know, I came in. We were just here. It's all right. It's just
candy. I know everybody's got goodies too.
Thank you.